We present John le Carré's A Murder of Quality, adapted for radio in 5 parts by René Basilico, starring George Cole as Smiley, with Norman Bowler as Inspector Rigby. A Murder of Quality, Episode 1.
Can I help you, sir?
Yes, please. I have an appointment with Miss Brimley.
Miss who?
Brimley. Miss Ailsa Brimley, of the Christian Voice.
Oh, yes, sir. I'll just ring her office.
Yes, of course.
What name, shall I say, sir?
Smiley. George Smiley.
Thank you. Oh, Miss Brimley, there's a Mr. Smiley at reception. Yes, straight away. If you'd like to go straight up, Mr. Smiley.
I wonder...
I'm sorry, sir. Yes, you want the 5th floor. Turn right out of the lift, sir, and it's the last door on the left.
Thank you.
Just past the ladies' toilets.
Thank you. Ah.
Come in. George.
Hello, Brim.
Come in and let me look at you.
Oh.
Same old George Smiley. You know you haven't changed one tiny bit.
Neither have you. You're just the way I always remember you.
Except that I'm older and even more spinsterish than I used to be. I'll sit down, George, won't you?
Thank you.
Tea or coffee?
Well...
They're both plastic, I'm afraid.
Well, perhaps not, then.
Anyway, they're washing the glasses.
Are they? Yes, of course. Now, how was it used to say that?
I don't remember.
Fielding? Jeopardy? Steed Asprey, who was it?
Well, one of them. Perhaps better not to remember.
Yes, you're right, Brim. It was a long time ago.
Oh, yesterday, George. Only yesterday to me.
Yes.
I heard a whisper that you'd gone back.
To the circus?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was only for a month or two. Sort of holiday relief.
And now?
Oh, just a little research, bits and pieces, you know. That is what you wanted to hear, I presume.
Well, do you know Kahn at all? Kahn School, I mean.
Only by reputation. More expensive than Eton, I believe.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me. The reason I ask is that I've received this somewhat unusual letter.
From Kahn School?
From the wife of one of the masters, Stella Road.
Ooh, addressed to Miss Fellowship.
Well, you see, for my sins, I'm not only the editor of the Christian Voice, I'm also Miss Fellowship. The agony column.
I knew you were wasted in intelligence, Brim.
I remember you once saying that the value of intelligence depended on its breeding.
Mm-hmm.
In your terms, Stella Road is an impeccable source.
And?
And she says her husband is going to kill her.
Hmm.
What do you think? You can imagine how I felt when I read it.
Yes.
Well, that's why I invited you to lunch. I hoped you might have some suggestion to offer.
Oh, Lord. Well, I was actually looking forward to lunch with you.
Well, George.
Well, Brim.
What am I going to do about that letter?
I suppose you've considered the possibility that it might be a hoax.
Well, the first thing that crossed my mind. But this isn't the first time Mrs. Rhodes has written to us.
Ah.
No, she won our cookery hints competition only a few months ago.
Oh, and this is from the same person.
Oh, yes. The same handwriting, the same paper, even the same ink.
And the signature?
How do you mean?
It's unusual, isn't it? I mean, does she always sign both her married and her maiden name? Glaston, is that it?
Yes. Yes, she's very proud of being a Glaston. Makes sure that no one forgets it. She's the last of them now, you know.
The name doesn't mean anything to me, I'm afraid.
Well, her grandfather was a pottery king who spent his spare time building half the chapels and tabernacles in the Midlands. Her father would have built the other half, I think. But ill health forced him to sell the business and retire.
Ah.
He's lived in Branksome the last 10 years or so.
Rump steak, rare?
Oh, for me, please.
And medium for madam?
Thank you.
Will you try the wine now, sir?
Oh, yes, please. It certainly is quite plausible.
Thank you, sir.
Tell me, Brim, why would you know so much about the Glastons?
Oh, the Glastons are easy. They were one of the founding families of the Christian Voice. And they've supported us ever since.
Part of your establishment?
Exactly. It may seem strange, but we do have a hard core of readers who keep in touch with us. If they're getting married, moving house, retiring from work, they're ill, depressed, angry, they write. Not often, heaven knows, but enough.
And you keep up with them all?
More or less.
I don't know how you do it, really.
slight family, George. The only family I've got. Just the way that you all once were at the circus. You, Steed Asprey, Fielding, all the others.
Mm.
That's why I won't go to the police with that letter. Not until I've tried something.
Going to the police won't help anyway, I'm afraid. The police need facts to work on, and the one necessary fact of murder is, well...
Oh, do we have to wait for that, George?
We?
Did you know Adrian Fielding had a brother who taught at Carn School?
No. Oh, at least I knew he had a brother who was a teacher, but I didn't know he was at Carn.
Yes, he retired this term. It was in the Times a couple of weeks ago. The court page. Did you ever meet him, the brother?
Oh, just once, I believe, yes. At the Magdalen High Table.
That's perfect, George.
I won't do it, Brim. Even for you. I'm sorry.
No. I'm sorry, George. I had no right to ask.
No, don't mistake me, Brim. It's not that I don't want to help, but I think you're jumping the gun a bit.
Oh, you think so?
Hmm. You know, perhaps if you were to invite Mrs. Rhode up here and talk to her about it...
Then would you help?
Well, there may be no need.
But if there were?
Well, if you thought there was some way I could help, well...
Well, you're right, George, as always. I'll ring her this afternoon as soon as I get back to the office.
Good. Now, perhaps we could bend our attention to these splendid-looking steaks?
Oh, George, I am sorry.
Oh, 563.
George, this is Ailsa Brimley.
Oh, Brim, I've just got in. I was just about to drop you a line. Thank you for a charming lunch.
George, about Stenner Road.
Yes?
I phoned her a few minutes ago.
Yes? Brim?
She's dead, George. She was murdered last night.
Oh, Lord.
I suppose I should send that letter to the police.
Yes, of course.
George?
I was just thinking, Brim, how would you feel about me taking the letter to the police? Down to Carn, I mean.
Oh, George, would you?
I don't see why not.
We'd be sort of answering her cry for help.
Yes.
Would you like me to ring the Carn police to let them know what's happening?
No, leave that with me, Brim. I'll contact them.
But, George, they'll wonder who you are. I mean, how you're involved.
I'm not involved, Brim. I'm only acting as a messenger.
Yes, but well, even a messenger needs credentials.
No, don't worry. I'll arrange an impeccable reference.
Of course you will.
So, I'll need to pick up the letter. I could manage later this afternoon, if that's convenient.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes?
Rigby, sir. Inspector Rigby, can't see ID.
Oh, yes, we spoke on the telephone.
That's right, sir.
How do you do, Inspector?
Very well, thank you, sir.
Well, I really didn't expect to be met.
Least I could do, sir. You're making a special trip down here?
Very kind.
Ticket, please?
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you.
Can I drive you to your hotel, Mr. Smiley? My car's right here.
Well, I'm staying at the Sawley Arms.
I thought you might be. Though perhaps you'd like to call at the station. It's on the way.
Well, I really don't mind. Whatever you wish.
Right you are, sir. And how long do you intend staying in Carn, Mr. Smiley?
Well, I don't really know. Well, why do you ask?
Oh, I just wondered, sir. Someone like you, coming all this way just to deliver a letter.
Mm.
By the way, you did say on the phone there were two letters from Mrs. Rhode to this,
The Christian Voice, yes. One was only a competition entry, but it might serve to verify the other.
Quite so. You brought them both, did you?
Of course. Inspector?
Yes, sir?
Did you contact Special Branch?
Yes, sir. No problem there. They seem to know all about you.
Yes, they would.
My Special Branch don't give much away. But Ben Sparrow comes from these parts, so he was quite helpful.
Oh, good. But please, understand I'm here purely in a private capacity, just doing a favour for an old friend.
I realise that, sir. Will you be staying for the funeral?
I don't know. Though, yes, maybe I should. I think Miss Brimley would like that. I could sort of represent the paper. When is it, the funeral?
I don't really know. Early next week, I shouldn't wonder.
Ah.
Oh, excuse me, sir, but cross there. Look, you can see it just through the trees. That's the school.
Ah, yes. And those other buildings?
All belong to the school.
Mm.
funny place, Khan. There's a great divide between town and gown, you know.
Yes, I can imagine.
Their old chasm, really. Living their own little world up there. Looks to me get pretty short-shipped. Quite mind. Nothing offensive, but bland. Bland as a new brick wall.
Mm-hmm. Inspector?
Yes, Mrs. Smiley?
I don't know what Ben Sparrow said to you, but... Well, if there's any way I can be of help, I'd be delighted. I'm at a bit of a loose end, anyway.
Thank you. I hoped you might say that. Fishing for it, really. There's a lot I'd like to ask out there. Who liked the roads? Who didn't? Whether Mrs. Rowe fitted in or not? That sort of thing.
Yes, I know what you mean. Just sniffing the wind.
Just that. This country covers lost without it. I got facts aplenty, but nothing to hang them on. No inside contacts, no gossip, nothing. Except cups of tea and slices of seed cake. Oh, yes, and being called Sergeant all the time.
Well, I think I prefer that to seed cake.
The way it reads at the moment, Mr. Smiley, is that Stella Rode was murdered between 11 o'clock and midnight with a heavy blunt instrument. A cosh or a piece of lead pipe, something like that.
She was battered to death?
Yes, her skull was smashed, but there were marks all over the body. She was hit 15, maybe 20 times.
Oh.
It was a lot of what we call travelled blood. That's blood spurting from an open artery.
Yeah, yes, I know.
Anyway, there was blood all over the conservatory.
Mm, and all over the murderer, presumably.
Oh, yes. Can't see how he could avoid it.
I'd have thought it was too messy.
It's not the way I would have planned to do it.
If it was planned.
Yes, I take your point. Now, as far as we can reconstruct the sequence of events, she came to the front door, and as she opened it, she was hit. Knocked unconscious, I should think. Then dragged through the house to the conservatory.
And killed there.
Oh, it's the only place with any trace of blood.
Hmm.
When Mr. Rode came home, he rang the front doorbell. He was wearing a dinner jacket and apparently forgotten his key. And when he got no answer, he called out a few times, then went round to the back, to the conservatory, to see if he could get in that way. He tripped over his wife's body in the dark.
That must have been quite a shock.
Yes. He had to grope around in the dark for a few minutes before he realized what he'd found. He's not very coherent about anything after that.
Can't say I'm surprised.
No. About 10 minutes later, he was yelling and screaming in the road. Over towards Mr. Darcy's house. That's one of the senior masters. That's about 400 yards away. Scared out of his mind, according to Mr. Darcy. And apparently, Rhodes' hands and face were covered in blood.
Yes.
Well, as you said, Mr. Smiley, there'd be blood all over the murderer. I mean, in view of that letter you brought down, Mrs. Rode made a very clear accusation, didn't she?
Well, you can't ignore it, certainly. Where's Mr. Rode now?
Oh, he's staying with the Darcys. Under sedation, of course.
Well, it's more or less what you'd expect, isn't it, in the circumstances?
In the circumstances of his not being the murderer, you mean?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what I mean.
Brought you some tea, sir.
Well done, lad.
Oh, nicely timed, too.
The cake's all made, sir. Sergeant Chalmers' wife.
Oh, well, very nice.
Sea cake, sir. It's favourite in these parts.
Nothing but the best, Mr. Smiley. Nothing but the best.
Will there be anything else, sir?
No, thanks, lad. That's fine.
Thank you, sir.
Sugar?
No, thank you. I suppose robbery can be ruled out as a motive.
The only thing missing, apparently, is a string of cheap green beads she was wearing. Someone had a go at removing the rings from her finger, but they wouldn't come off.
Or he was disturbed.
Yes. There was one thing we found quite close to the body.
Well, what's that?
An old belt, navy blue. So that comes with an overcoat.
But no overcoat?
No overcoat.
What about fingerprints?
Well, smudges everywhere, and some of them bloodstained. The murderer obviously took the precaution of wearing gloves.
Mm. The road must have left prints, of course.
That's what you'd expect, isn't it?
Mm. You said earlier that Rhodes was wearing a dinner jacket. Was there any particular reason for that?
Yes, he just had dinner with Mr. Terence Fielding, one of the housemasters up at the school. They dressed for dinner up there.
Damn.
What's up?
I didn't bring mine with me. My dinner jacket.
Oh, did you have it in mind to eat up there, then?
Well, funnily enough, I was intending to make a courtesy call on that same Terence Fielding.
You know him, then?
Oh, vaguely. I met him in Oxford some time ago. But it occurred to me if I could arrange an invitation to dinner.
Yes.
I take it you would have no objections?
None at all.
Who knows? I'd be able to pick up a little local gossip, some inside information, as it were.
I'd be very glad to hear about it. Would you like to try a slice of sea cake?
No, thank you. Sergeant.
Nearest thing they have to Muzak in the Middle Ages.
What is?
Choir practice. It tends to go on and on.
They're pretty good, all the same, Fielding. Parry, isn't it?
Oh, well done. They better hurry or they'll be late for Adsum.
Adsum?
Evening prayers. You see, Khan was once an abbey, so we still divide our day into the hours of the canonical day. Prime, terse, hexed, and so on.
The monks disappeared when? Henry VIII?
Yes, but the memory lingers on.
Hallowed tradition?
Well, only since the High Master revived it 10 years ago. Sherry or Madeira, Smiley?
Sherry, please.
Tarts drink Madeira. But the boys seem to like it, and perhaps that's why. Here.
Thank you.
Well, two times past, then.
Two times past. Mm.
You knew my brother well, didn't you?
We were quite close, yes.
You were in his crowd then, Steed Asprey, Jeopardy, all those.
You knew them?
Oh, yes, but not well, of course.
No.
Did anyone ever find out what happened to him?
No. No, they didn't.
I didn't see much of Adrian, you know, not in those last years. I don't know why.
Well, these things happen, don't they?
Yes. Perhaps an old Ford like me knows better than to invite comparison with a genuine article. Enter.
I've called the Adsum, sir, if you're ready.
Oh, thank you, Tim. Meet my head prefect, Smiley, Tim Perkins.
Hello, Perkins.
Good evening, sir.
Tim is something of a genius with the cello.
Really?
Rather less inspired at everything else, sir.
Nonsense, you'll get there in the end. I say, Smiley, you'll care to join us in any last 10 minutes.
Well, I'd be fascinated.
Come along, then. Actually, your coming here today works out quite well. I had invited Felix Darcy and his sister to dinner, but Dorothy's cried off. I suppose you are free tonight?
Well, yes. Thank you.
Some of her wretched little dogs have got whooping cough or some similarly dread disease.
Well, how many does she have? Dogs, I mean.
Hundreds. She breeds the things. Those horrid little pug-faced spaniels.
Oh, King Charles.
More than likely. Anyway, she feels some pressing compulsion to sit and hold their grubby little paws all evening. I suppose that's her affair.
My good fortune.
Oh, God, Spidey, that must seem awfully ungracious.
Not at all.
I mean, I'd have asked you to dinner even if Dorothy had been coming. Please believe me.
By the way, do you dress for dinner?
Yeah, well, normally, yes. But it's not compulsory for an outsider.
Ah.
This way, please, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I really must compliment you on the meal, Terence.
Thank you, Felix.
Yes, you really do keep an excellent table, Fielding.
I keep an excellent housekeeper, if the truth be known. Miss Truebody is accepted as the culinary pearl of Khan.
Where are you staying, Smiley?
The Sawley Arms.
Fine hotel. Traditional, of course, but that's to his credit.
The place is packed with journalists at the moment.
Ah, yes, this wretched affair. The publicity has been most unseemly. Most.
I don't think Khan's ever known anything quite like it. They've turned the army out with mine detectors and the like. Though God knows what they expect to find.
How are the boys taking it all?
Well, they adore it, of course. They find disaster quite exhilarating.
Well, yours do, perhaps, Terence. But only because the Rhodes be your dinner guests that night.
Oh, so Mrs. Rhodes was dining here, too?
Yes, of course. Why would you think otherwise?
Well, it's just that I seem to remember reading that it was Rhodes who found his wife's body.
It was. Oh, I see what you mean. No, they dined here together. And they left together, I believe, Terence.
Yes, they did, but poor Rhodes forgot his briefcase and had to come back for it.
Leaving his wife to go home alone.
Sadly, yes.
It's funny, isn't it? The way disaster seems to hinge on such trivial things.
Like a forgotten briefcase, you mean?
Yes.
Well, the more so when you remember that normally he wouldn't have had the briefcase with him at all.
Oh?
Oh, indeed, no. We're in the middle of term examinations, you see. The briefcase contained those examination papers he was to mark and hand in the following day.
Oh, I see. Well, no, I don't, actually. I mean, that would seem all the more reason to leave it at home in the first place, surely.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have time to go home, you see.
You must forgive us, Smiley. We forget that you're new to the ways of Khan. Now, Rhodes had chapel duty immediately following his last period of invigilation.
So he sent his briefcase on ahead with Perkins, my head boy. You met him earlier today, Smiley.
Oh, yes.
And presumably Rhodes then went and changed in the tutor's roving room. It's what I would have done.
It's what we all do, I'm afraid. It's become more or less standard practice.
Well, I must say, it does seem to have been a quite bizarre set of tragic, well, coincidences, really.
It's been a most bizarre case altogether.
And whatever Terence would have you believe, Smiley, the whole affair has been the most unseemly shock for our little community.
Yes, yes, it must have been. Especially when someone's well-liked.
Trouble is, Stella wasn't particularly well-liked. Was she, Felix?
Terence.
Was she?
Well, not entirely.
Really?
Well, go on, Felix. Unburden your soul.
Little things, Smiley. Her appearance, for example.
Oh, my God, Felix.
Well, you must admit her clothes were a source of some distress.
To some of the wives.
To be fair, Terence, not only to the wives.
You see, Smiley, in many ways, Stella Rowe was just what we needed here. She was red brick, new town. All those things which we pretend don't exist here at Khan.
Yes, her attitude was perhaps unfortunate. She seemed reluctant to adapt to our ways, to conform.
What Felix means, Smiley, is that she chose not to attend our church.
Well, that of itself might have been tolerated had she not chosen to attend that tin-roofed tabernacle in the town.
And Stanley Rowe didn't.
Indeed not. No, Rowe had settled down very well.
In spite of his background.
Well, he does attempt to learn our ways, acquire our manners. I mean, Rowe does chapel duty quite admirably. I've said as much to the High Master.
How very generous of you, Felix.
Rhode adapted, his wife didn't. It's as simple as that.
Well, that says it all, doesn't it, Smiley? More claret?
Thank you.
Felix?
Ah, thank you. I shudder to think what your estimate of Fielding might be, Smiley.
There's something of a character, isn't he?
Yes. But you mustn't accord him so low an opinion of the social graces as we have you believe.
Well, that would be hard to reconcile with the sort of table he keeps.
Quite so. Quite so. No, we here at Khan have known Terence too long to still consider him an enfant terrible.
And too well to consider him a bête noire, presumably.
I congratulate you on your perception. Well, we've come to the parting of the ways, I fear. The road to the village lies to the left.
Oh, it really is such a glorious night.
Yes, indeed. Full moon tomorrow, I believe.
Really? Perhaps I might walk a little further with you?
Gladly.
From the general tone of the conversation at dinner, the Rhodes would appear to have been a strangely paired couple.
Between you and me, Smiley, if her death had come about in any other manner, I might have been tempted to consider it providential. A blessed release for Rhodes.
That seems a little harsh.
Do you think so?
Well,
believe me, Smiley, you only heard the half of it. Stella Rhode was a thoroughly mischievous woman.
Really?
If I were to tell you the things she said about her husband, and in his presence, quite unforgivable. The way she would hold him up to ridicule. I'm convinced she took positive pleasure in hurting him.
And Khan, too, no doubt.
Just so. That's North Fields, the Rhodes house. I'm up the road about a quarter of a mile.
Do you think Rhode would object if I had a closer look?
Well, oh, no, I'm sure he wouldn't.
Well, it's quite an attractive house.
You see it to better effect in daylight, of course.
Well, naturally. It belongs to the school, I suppose.
Oh, yes. They built much later. Turn of the century. What? What is it?
I thought Rhode was staying with you.
Well, he is. He should be well enough to return, though, in a few days.
Keep your voice down.
What? And then...
There's someone moving around over there.
I didn't see anything.
By Rhode's conservatory.
No. You're imagining it, Smiley. Trick of the light.
Come on, Darcy. There. You see?
My God, Smiley, you're right.
Now, quietly.
Well, do you think we ought?
Come on, man. Oh, damn. Caught my foot. Sorry, Darcy.
I see you. I see you clear.
Who is it, Smiley?
You've not come near. You bite there.
Keep still, Darcy. Don't move.
Do you bite there like a cow, you see?
Yes. Yes.
Do you bite there? I got Ollie. Foretold you.
Yeah, I can see that, yes.
You can't harm me. I got the Ollie, see?
We won't harm you. I like your coat. Where did you get it?
I took it for to keep me warm.
You've lost the belt, haven't you?
I thought you was the devil, mister. But you've got no wings.
Look out!
You've got no wings! You've got no wings!
My God, Smiley. What on earth do you make of that?
A pity we couldn't have stopped her.
Oh, no. I'm not up to that sort of thing, I'm afraid.
No, it doesn't matter.
Quite unnerving. Well, what was all that nonsense about losing a belt?
That coat she was wearing. The belt was missing.
I didn't notice.
The police found just such a belt.
Where?
By Stella Rhodes' body.
That was part one of A Murder of Quality, the novel by John le Carré, adapted for radio by René Basilico. It starred George Cole as Smiley, with Norman Bowler as Inspector Rigby. The part of Terence Fielding was played by Peter Jeffrey. Miss Brimley and Mad Janey by Sheila Grant, and Felix Darcy by Richard Pearson. Other parts were played by Leonard Fenton and Stephen Garlick. Produced by John Fawcett Wilson.